the very first Bengal Tales episode for 2021, Ryan Sargent is joined by Amy Dressel, the Director of Advancement Communications at Idaho State University. We will learn more about Amy's background and the journey that brought her to Idaho State University in the next half an hour of Bengal Tales with your host, Ryan Sargent.
Good evening and welcome to the show tonight. My name is Ryan Sargent, your host, and I'm very excited to have the newest member of the Alumni and Advancement Communications Office here with us, Amy Dressel. Amy, thanks for joining us on the show tonight.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you just started working in the Alumni Office like a week and a half ago.
Yep. Awesome. Started last week. It's been very fun so far. Lots to do.
Yeah, well, I am so excited for you to be part of our office, and even more excited for our alumni to be able to meet you and engage with you and see some of the great things that you're doing for our office and the university generally. So if you're an alum of ISU or one of our supporters, expect great things in the communications department. But why don't we start off, Amy, why don't you just introduce yourself to us?
Sure, yeah. So I am originally from the Chicago suburbs, and my husband and I moved out here about 3 years ago. My husband works for the Idaho Department of Fish and Game, so that's what originally brought us out here. And I got to be honest, I couldn't remember where Idaho even was on the United States map, let alone Pocatello.
Yeah, exactly. Midwesterner, you're thinking.
Right? And so we Googled it. And we saw that there was a Costco and a university. So I was like, okay.
That's all you needed,
This will be great.
Costco and a university.
Yep.
Yeah. I mentioned that's a big change, though, when, you know, growing up in Chicago, living in Chicago, which is what, like the third largest city in the country?
Definitely.
To, you know, 55,000 population Pocatello.
Right.
But you must have loved your husband,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah, I do. we fell in love with Pocatello right away. I mean, the mountain views everywhere. Get anywhere you want in 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
the best part.
Now I feel almost like I'm taking advantage of it because when I'm at a stoplight for more than 5 minutes, I'm like, come on, like, what is this?
So, it's hard to go back and visit family
exactly.
and actually have traffic.
Oh, gosh, going back to the city, it's like... takes hours to get anywhere, but we absolutely love it.
Very cool. Well, tell us about growing up in Illinois. What'd you do? What's the big differences between a childhood, do you imagine, in Chicago versus, childhood in the Intermountain West?
Well, my childhood is like basic suburbia. If you can think of like all those movies that you've seen, you know, growing up, the kids on the block and I would just hang out till the streetlights came on. Parents would come out yelling, all right, come on in. And we'd all go back to our houses. So it was a very fun, very safe neighborhood where I grew up and had the opportunity to walk to school and just play with friends out in the middle of the street. And I find that when my husband and I eventually have children that they'll have a similar experience, being safe, having fun with friends, playing out in the street, being outside. That's definitely the one advantage here is the opportunity to use the outdoors as your playtime. So very excited to be able to take our kids out camping and hiking and rock climbing and all the stuff that we love to do now and just add a couple little kids around with us and just add them to the tribe. Yeah.
That's right. If you enjoy the outdoors, there's no better place than Pocatello.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of outdoor opportunities just 20, 30 minutes away.
Even just 10 minutes. Yeah,
trails that you can get to in 5 or 10 minutes from your house.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your education. You went to ISU, but not Idaho State University.
Right, yes. I went to Illinois State University in Bloomington Normal, which is kind of around the middle of the state, about 2 hours from Chicago.
Much lesser known ISU.
Right, yeah, right. We're just the Redbirds down there. No, it was awesome. I started off as a elementary education major. I thought I would be a kindergarten teacher for forever. So I actually started off at a community college where I focused on education there, transferred out to ISU. And then I quickly kind of realized that I wasn't getting what I thought out of it. And so I didn't feel that spark or that initial passion that I had figured that I would get when learning to become a teacher.
Sure.
And so I knew what I wanted. I knew I loved working with people. I knew that I loved education and I believe in higher ed and always learning. So I knew I wanted to say something in that field. So talking to a school counselor, they were like, well, what about sociology? And I was like, great, what is it? And so my first and that was basically what I learned. And so I absolutely fell in love with sociology, and I knew that that's something that I really wanted to do. And it allowed me to also focus on the education sector that I was interested in. Mm-hmm. So I was able to do mentorship programs and work with 4-H clubs down at ISU. So I was able to still, you know, find my passion with education, which led me to kind of really where I am today. So
tell us a little bit more about those volunteer opportunities that you had.
Sure. So when I was in college, I worked as an intern with 4-H, and I worked as like a mentor for this like robotics team.
Oh, really?
Which was way out of my realm. I had to learn a lot of like how to actually do the kind of stuff. But it was so cool because it was at-risk youth. And so they had this safe place to go after school, and, you know, we had snacks, and then they would focus on either like computer technology or building robots or Lego competitions. And so I was really just facilitating and kind of mentoring them along on that area and being a safe advocate for them to to talk to and help grow.
Cool. So this is not like your grandma's 4-H anymore.
No, I know.
Not they're raising sheep, you're building robots.
They did have that option, and there were a lot of kids in that program. But no, this was very focused on more of like the mentoring side of 4-H.
Yeah, very cool. I didn't know anything about robotics or how big it is in high school until I got to know some of like the teenage kids in my neighborhood, some of our neighbors, and like they are all on the robotics team here.
That's so cool.
Here in School District 25 and way into it. And they actually, I don't know if it's a standard thing, they've had a couple competitions though at ISU.
Yeah. The College of Ed puts that on.
Oh, really?
They have a grant, yes. They have a grant with NASA. And so every year they put on this giant robotics competition with the middle schools around town. So
cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, very neat.
Yeah, so it was fun.
So what else happened at ISU? Anything that we should know about?
I think a lot of what I learned at Illinois State allowed me to really develop into the woman that I am today. Uh-huh. And after graduating, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. My dad was like, what are you going to do with a sociology degree? I'm like, oh, that's a great point. and so I looked into different mentoring programs. Teach for America was an option for me, but I fell in love with City Year, and it's a nonprofit organization through AmeriCorps. So it's like a branch off the AmeriCorps. And so I served with City Year Chicago, and I absolutely fell in love with it. It was life-changing for me. And so I served in Chicago Lawn, which is on the south side of Chicago, Marquette School of Excellence. And so what I did there was work with a team of 14 other individuals, and we tutored and mentored at-risk middle schoolers. And so when I say at-risk, I mean like they were falling behind, falling through the cracks in attendance and their behavior and their course performance. So I worked with a 7th grade ELA class, helping kids read and write, and it was awesome. Loved it so much, I served a second year as a team member at the same school, so I was able to then kind of take on the leadership role of the core members that were serving with students. So that was really my avenue of being like, okay, education is where I want to end up, but where that could lead me outside of the classroom. Because again, I knew I didn't want to be a teacher, but I still was very passionate about educational opportunities for students and understanding that, you know, your zip code shouldn't determine your success. And so every student deserves access to an equitable education.
Yeah, I bet that was incredibly rewarding.
Definitely. So. Yeah.
We have some student listeners. Every time we air an episode, there's a couple students that, you know, pick out something that they're interested in and shoot us an email. How did you get involved with Teach for America? What's the process of applying or getting hooked up with that opportunity?
Yeah, so I actually started with City Year.
Okay, and that's not part of Teach for America?
No, it's separate. So Teach for America is,
Okay, I got you. Sorry, I got it mixed up.
You're good.
Okay, so tell us about AmeriCorps. How do you get involved with that?
So you can go online to cityyear.org, I believe is the website, and all their information is up on there. I honestly don't really remember how I got into it. I believe they had like a big career exploration fair at the end of when I was graduating, and City Year was there, and AmeriCorps was there, and with all their different opportunities that they had for graduates. And so just got to talking to a current core member, and their story was super inspiring, and I thought, hey, I could do that. That sounds great. And and luckily I was able to do it.
Yeah, that's really neat. Mm-hmm. So where's Illinois State at? What town?
Bloomington Normal. It's kind of like Pocatello Chubbuck, like how they're kind of one and the same but very separate.
Okay.
That's how Bloomington Normal
is. And how far away from Chicago where you grew up? How far away is that? Or is that part of Chicago?
No, it's like 2 hours. Two hours south.
Cool. So you graduated and came back to Chicago to yes. work with some students.
Yep.
In Chicago. Cool.
Yeah.
Very neat. So you obviously are not doing that anymore. What was the next step on your journey?
No, the next step after I did 2 years there was to follow my now husband. He was in grad school at Michigan State University.
Okay. So at some point you met him or did you together?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I guess okay. I should. Long story short. So we met when we were 21. Uh-huh. When we were in college, but I was at Illinois State and he was at Southern Illinois in Carbondale.
Okay.
And so we had met and we dated for a little while.
How'd you meet? Like do you guys play each other in football or something? Or?
Through a mutual friend, actually.
Okay.
Which is fun. And because we're actually from the same hometown.
Oh, really?
But the way that our town is set up is there's a street that divides the high schools. And so he went to one high school and then I went to the other. And okay. so we didn't meet, which I am grateful for because we were two very different people in high school. So I'm glad we met when we did. Tried to do the long distance in college. They're about 4.5 hours away
okay.
from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a ways.
So we ended up breaking up and then got back together about 2 years after.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, as
yeah,
they say.
I think so. It was good. You know, my husband is very outdoorsy, very adventure-seeking, and at the time when we met, I don't think he was really ready for me and and the next step in a relationship. And neither was I. I hate to admit it. But uh-huh. It worked out because then when our paths crossed again, we were both then now ready for that next step
sure.
and that commitment.
So you were working in Chicago. He was in grad school.
Right,
at Michigan State.
Yes. So then when I was done, it was like, okay, I could get a job out here in Chicago or look for somewhere else. And he had a year to finish up his grad school at Michigan State. So I was like, well, I'm coming out. Yeah, like, so it was time. I think we were ready in our relationship for the next step. And I was ready professionally. And so went out there and I found a job at a charter school organization.
Cool.
And so that was actually really cool because it was right in Lansing. So I worked like right near the Capitol and I had all like the back end information of how education worked and how the charter school organization versus the public school organizations uh-huh. and kind of got to see the legislative side, which was interesting.
Very cool.
So it was nice to have that experience. And I very much enjoyed Michigan. It's a beautiful state and yeah. we had a lot of fun.
I've heard Lansing and East Lansing are like gorgeous.
Yeah, it was so fun. And it allowed us to then just like, you know, take a weekend trip up to the UP or over to...
What's the UP?
The Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say, what's the UP for us?
Probably
Westerners.
Like Coeur d'Alene almost. Okay. Like it's kind of like its own little state, uh-huh. but it's so beautiful.
Sure.
So we got to do that and visit New Haven and just all these beautiful towns in Michigan. So we were lucky.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, and then the call came. My husband was graduated and was looking for jobs out west. Well, we were both looking for jobs out west. We were ready to pick up a move.
What was the draw to go west?
The mountains.
Really?
The mountains were calling. Yeah, we were ready for it. And my husband and I both had like a very awesome childhood. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But we were ready to get out of the suburbs, to get out of the city life and really just kind of start anew and establish something for ourselves.
Okay. Very mm-hmm. cool. And so Pocatello was the stop from Michigan to Idaho?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
So he got the call. Funny story, we were all in a spin class. My husband, myself, his dad, and his sister at the Y, you know, working out casually.
Yeah. And covered in sweat.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
my God, how many more minutes do we have? And he gets a call and he leaves. I'm like, oh, I wish I could have left with him. Like, I'm dying. And he comes back in and he gets back on the bike and
he's got all new energy.
Right. I'm like, oh, God, what is it like?
Running.
Is this going to be good or bad? He's like, well, we're moving to Pocatello. I'm like, where the heck is Pocatello?
He didn't even talk to you first. He just accepted. And
he had said he would talk about it and then yeah, like he got the offer and then he was able to think about it and then call him back. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, so it was good. It was exciting. And then I'm like, okay, we're done now with the spin, like let's go celebrate.
Yeah. So first thoughts of moving to Idaho, what were they?
what? Yeah. That was basically it.
You hadn't been out here? Like,
no,
you didn't fly
no.
out for a job interview or anything?
No.
So it's kind of sight unseen?
Yeah, my initial thoughts were rural. I was like, am I going to have to, like, walk to my neighbor? Very ignorant thoughts, I think. I didn't really understand the true beauty and growth of Idaho in itself and Pocatello especially. So very ignorant at first, not knowing what to expect. Uh-huh. I just thought immediately, like, where am I going to shop? Where am I going to eat?
Yeah, exactly.
Those kind of things.
Yeah.
Just coming from Chicago, like, we're very spoiled in our pizza and our food and all of the shopping and... You know, I was kind of spoiled with that, so I wasn't used to it.
My wife's from New York.
Oh, okay.
And then went to college in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So she had the same thoughts.
Exactly.
with the proposal of moving to Pocatello.
Right. But I do have to say I was immediately pleasantly surprised and very excited. Like,
cool.
I think the initial coming out through income, you're like, oh, my gosh, like,
yeah,
this is
gap,
where we're going to live.
Pretty,
yeah. And then you kind of get over the gap and you're like, wait, where'd they go? It's so beautiful. We love it.
Very cool. So what is it that your husband does for fishing game?
He's a wildlife biologist.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the perfect place for him.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So tell us, how'd you end up at ISU? I should say Idaho State University. We're transitioning what the ISU means for. But
you're right.
Idaho State University. How'd you end up here?
I actually had a faculty member reach out to me because I had applied to a job at the College of Education that I wasn't really right for.
Uh-huh.
And I think in my interview process, one of the faculty members reached back out to me with a new opportunity that, based on my interview from the previous position, would suit me better. And it was. It was an outreach and marketing coordinator position at the College of Education, and I focused a lot on student recruitment and engagement. I managed their social media accounts and planned events, and it was awesome. I absolutely loved it. So that's where I initially started at Idaho State.
Obviously, College of Education is something that you care about.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. It was right up my alley. And I got to work directly with students and the faculty and staff over there and just see the impact that we're making on our students that are going to go out into schools and then make an impact on our future. So it was really awesome and inspiring.
So what was the change from, like, going from a college student to working at a university?
It took me a minute just because being back on a campus, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, trying to walk to class, but it's like, I'm not going to class, I'm going to work. So I have a very set schedule of, you know, being in my office and working, opposed to a college student where I could take naps during the day
or go
hang out at the sub. And
that's the biggest change, really, I think. And even in graduate school or any type of professional school where you're working pretty hard,
There's
still an immense amount of freedom in being able to, like, set your own schedule throughout the day.
Totally, yeah. Or, like, you know, you have a hour 15 class, then you go home, take a nap, eat some lunch, maybe do a little homework, walk back to class, and no, it was, you know, you got to work.
Yeah.
Which was not too bad.
So you came to work at ISU. You start working for the College of Education, doing their kind of external relations, communications work. And you eventually also enrolled at ISU.
I did,
okay, tell us about that.
Yes. So I am so grateful for the opportunity that Idaho State has for our employees being able to work at a tuition reduction. Because I don't think if it was for Idaho State really investing in their employees and their staff to be able to do these opportunities that I wouldn't have been able to do it. So I thought, well, gosh, I'm here and I really want to continue to learn. And I knew that I was going to do something with communications and outreach and design and things. And so I was like, well, what better way to get better at it than to learn more about it? And so I enrolled in the Masters of Arts in Communication program, and I graduate in May.
It's been tell us about that journey, I guess.
Sure, yeah. It's been about a little over two years. And I started with just taking one class because I was terrified.
Uh-huh.
I graduated in my undergrad in 2012. So I've been out of the game for a little while. And so I'm definitely a post-traditional student and was really nervous, not only getting back into school again, but school on top of a full-time position and it being a graduate level course. So my first course was with Dr. Robin Limbeck, who I have to give her a shout out because she's out of the College of Ed and she is amazing. She's actually on my grad committee as well. So shout out to you, Dr. Robin.
Cool. Yeah. Somebody's sucking up so their thesis is
I know.
Accepted. Awesome.
Remember that. No. And it was great. It was a very perfect class to transition into grad school. So then on out, I took 6 credits, so I was able to take 2 classes, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity to do it, like I had said, and then also the flexibility with the college being letting me do it, because I did work full time and then take classes, so there were times during the day that I would have to, you know, miss work and and do that, so it was great.
I would say it's really great about that, and it's important that it is as an educational institution. We want everyone to be able to pursue some additional education.
Definitely, so. And it's funny because I feel like. In my undergrad, I think there's definitely a difference between an undergraduate student and a graduate level student. Like when you're in your undergrad, you're doing your thing, you're napping, you're hanging out, you're really getting the college experience. Yeah. And then it wasn't really until grad school where I felt like I was learning how to learn. Like I could read an abstract and understand what I'm about to read and like read these professional journals and actually grasp a little bit. And so it's funny that, you know, it took me this long to really feel like I'm absorbing the information and actually able to apply it to, I'm literally taking what I'm learning in class and applying it to my job the next day, which has been super helpful and impactful, I think, in my learning and my professional career as well.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome when you're able to apply directly what you're studying. So you have left the College of Education, joined University Advancement as the Director of Advancement Communications. Tell us about that role and what you're looking forward to. You're a week in so far.
Yes.
What makes you excited about that opportunity?
Everything.
That's the right answer.
Yeah. And I say that just because, you know, this is a new position for the university, and in having conversations during my first week with all the people that I'll be working with, it has been extremely apparent that how important this position is. And so I think I'm just most excited to be able to advance the university in a way that haven't had the opportunity to before. So I'm very eager. I'm very excited. There is a lot of work that needs to be done. I'm taking very detailed notes, having very great meetings. Yeah,
you're just the person to do it, though.
Yeah, so. Thank you. So I'm just excited to move the university forward, continue to build relationships, and help out our students.
Yeah. And I think for our listeners who are donors or alumni, what you'll notice is the ease of being able to acquire information about ISU and interact, whether that's through volunteerism, learning new projects or, you know, efforts to support and get behind. And of course, a big part of your role is building advocates for Idaho State by arming them with the right information and the details of the really great things that ISU is doing and that our students are accomplishing.
Absolutely. Yes. So,
great. Well, we have about 1 minute left. I want to know what your favorite thing, now that you've been out in Idaho for a few years, what's your favorite thing about living in Pocatello?
Oh, gosh. My favorite thing about living in Pocatello is the ability to get off work, grab my puppy and my husband, and hit the trail.
Yeah.
It's whether hiking, biking, anything, we can just, you know. And even, like, this winter hasn't been too harsh, so any day of the week we can just do it.
Yeah, it's a unique winter, though.
Yeah, I know. I say
you better
that.
Take
I'm
advantage
like
of these
fingers.
Kind of Januaries if you want to be outside and Februaries.
Right.
Like I said, we always have some students that are listening. You've been very successful in your career, and you've had a pretty diverse career. What advice, if you could give anything to a, you know, let's say somebody that's graduating with their bachelor's degree in April this year, not quite sure what they want to do, and obviously anxious about the future, what advice do you have for that student?
My advice is to ask questions and don't be afraid to talk to people. I think the best advice that I ever received too was just be open and be honest and ask questions that you have, and people love to help people. And so what I found here most importantly at Idaho State is that we're all here to support you and to watch you be successful.
Well, Amy, it's been great having you on the show tonight. Thanks so much for coming on, being our guest. And I could not be more excited to have you as part of our team in the alumni office and for the great work that we'll accomplish with you over the coming months.
Thank you.
If you want to get a hold of Amy, you can do that at amydressel@isu.edu. Dressel has one L, not two. Two S's, one L. So if you have any interesting alumni stories or anything like that, we'd love to hear about it. If it's easier to remember, you can also always email alumni@isu.edu. But we encourage you to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, to stay up to date. And of course, you can always visit isu.edu/alumni, and you'll see a vast improvement of the content with Amy at the helm of all those great resources for our alumni. So thanks again, Amy, and go Bengals!
This and all past episodes of Bengal Tales, formerly Bengal Buzz, can be found at our website, that's kisu.org. For audio of this episode, just search for Bengal Tales with Amy Dressel. And remember, Bengal Tales airing on the first Monday of every month at 7:30 p.m. right here on KISU FM.